The corpse flower plant, native to Indonesia, does not produce flowers every year. It builds up energy and can wait 10 years before flowering, at which point it blooms for just a few days. The flowers can be up to 8 feet tall. It creates a lot of excitement. Our Haftorah de Shabbos is like the corpse flower. It's the rarest of all Ashkenazi Haftarot. It is so rare that it was last read in 1997. The next reading is 2041, and the one after that is 2068. People get very excited when it rolls around. But like the corpse flower, it comes with an unpleasant surprise. The corpse flower gains its name from the fact that it smells like rotting meat. Very uncomfortable to be in its vicinity. And when you get excited about this Haftarah and actually read it, you find it to be extremely uncomfortable as well. That discomfort is the reason why this Haftarah is so rare. This Haftarah has been censored in a rabbinic plot to make sure you never hear its painful message in shul. And the story of that plot provides an important lesson for our times. Here's the two-part plot against our Haftarah. First, in regular non-leap years, Kedoshim is read together with Achrimos. We read double Parshios 7 times through the year. For 6 of them, we read the Haftorah of the second Parsha. But when Achrimos and Kedoshim are combined, we read the Haftorah for the first Parsha, Achrimos, not the one for Kedoshim. That's part 1 of the censorship. Part 2 is when Kedoshim stands alone in a leap year. As a rule, if Kedoshim is alone, it tends to be Rosh Chodesh or Erev Rosh Chodesh. But even if it isn't one of those, many shuls still won't read the Haftorah of Kedoshim. Instead, they actually read the Haftorah of Achrimos from Amos. Again, a second time, this Shabbos. We don't do that here, but many do. So in some shuls, this Haftorah is rare. And in some, it's non-existent. What is in this Haftarah that we are so allergic to reading it? The opposition starts with Rabbi Eliezer 2,000 years ago. In a Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer ruled that we never read a passage from Yechezkel called Hoda'es Yerushalayim as a Haftarah. That passage is extremely harsh. It starts by charging the listener, "Tell Yerushalayim of all her abhorrent behavior." Then it describes at length how Hashem nurtured, supported, and beautified Yerushalayim, and how Yerushalayim has been unfaithful, using the very gifts Hashem gave her to attract other lovers, meaning worshipping idols and assimilating among other nations. Then Hashem describes how he will punish Yerushalayim for doing this, and it's all very graphic. Rabbi Eliezer bans it. Rabbi Eliezer was in shul one Shabbos, and someone read this Haftorah, Hoda'as Yerushalayim, and Rabbi Eliezer rebuked him. Before you investigate the abhorrent behavior of Yerushalayim, go investigate your own mother's abhorrent behavior. And in the Yerushalmi's version of the story, they investigated and found the person laning the Haftorah was in fact a mamzer. He was illegitimate. In truth, that banned Haftorah is not the same one found in our Chumash for Kedoshim. But there are striking similarities, and therefore the ban includes our Haftorah as well. But here's what I don't understand. Someone was reading this Haftorah, or it wouldn't be in our Chumashim, and no one would have read it in Rabbi Eliezer's shul. Why did some have it and some not? What is this debate about? We need to understand why we read any Haftorah on any Shabbos. There are 2 approaches. The first approach says we read the Haftorah for education, as part of a communal experience of learning Torah together. The most popular version is recorded by Rav David Avudram, a 13th century source for much of our knowledge about the Siddur. He explained that when the Greeks banned public Torah study, we couldn't read from the Torah, so we read a parallel passage from the Navi. The Haftarah is a passage of Navi echoing, amplifying the lesson of the Parsha. But there's a second approach, which sees the Haftarah not as education, but inspiration. Rav Soloveitchik was a major proponent of this idea. He explained that the Parsha teaches halacha. The Haftarah inspires us to hold true to that halacha, by connecting the Parsha with a hopeful, prophetic vision of the future. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out the rule that every Haftarah ends with consolation, with hope, with tefillah, especially for a future Mashiach and a return to Tzion. In fact, we sometimes skip psukim or even go backward and repeat a pasuk from earlier in the Haftarah in order to find an upbeat ending. He pointed out the brachos of the Haftarah declare, Ne'eman atahu Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem, you are enduring. V'ne'emanim devaracha, your words are enduring. V'devarachad midvaracha lo yashuv reikam, not one of your words will fail to be fulfilled. It's an affirmation that the Haftarah's hopeful vision will come true. So we have two approaches to the Haftarah, education and inspiration. And the two different approaches lead to two different Haftarot this Shabbos. All year, until the last couple of weeks, Hashem's message to the Jewish people in our weekly Parsha was largely upbeat and optimistic. I'm going to bring you into this special land of milk and honey where your ancestors lived. Here is my precious Torah to follow. Build a sanctuary for me. I will dwell in your midst. But Achrei Mos and Kedoshim go in a much darker direction. Velosakiha aretz eschem kaasher ka'as hagoya asher lifnechem. Don't emulate Egypt and Canaan. If you do, you will be evicted from the land. Veloselechu b'chukos hagoya asher ani meshaleach mipnechem kias kol ela asuva akutz bam. Don't follow the ways of the nation I evicted before you. They did these terrible things, and I became disgusted with them. This is the first biblical presentation of a dramatic, harsh warning. I'm giving you this land, but you can lose it. You can be kicked out. Those who see the Haftarah as an educational lesson reiterating the Parsha choose to read the harshest of threats for Yerushalayim, warning that Hashem will evict us if we embrace the ways of Canaan. Tell Yerushalayim of her abhorrent conduct. And the ending is utterly hopeless. I will scatter you among the nations. I will spread you in the lands. I will eradicate your impurity. You will fall ill before the eyes of the nations, and then you will know that I am Hashem. That's it. Read it. Don't skip it. That's how we will reinforce the warning of our parsha. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Haftarah is supposed to inspire hope. And so we will really need something different this week of all weeks, because after the horrifying image of becoming like Canaan and being evicted, we need not a rebuke, but a hug. Indeed, last week's Haftarah for Achrei Mos included this hopeful promise from Amos. I will restore the captives of my nation Israel. They will rebuild ruined cities and settle them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will create gardens and eat the fruit. That's an inspiring message for a frightened nation. That will inspire us not to despair. So some shuls say, you know what? Better to read that upbeat message twice, a rerun. That will inspire us to keep Parshas Kedoshim than to terrify the Jews with Yechezkel's horrific vision. In our own lives, we, and especially our community's children, need to follow Rabbi Eliezer. What we need is not an educational message warning that we'll be kicked out and suffer in exile. We've been kicked out. We've already suffered in exile. It's not news. We are an Am Sri Decharev, a nation that has survived so many swords. We need what Rav Soloveitchik saw at the core of the Haftorah: hope, inspiration, tefillah, chizuk. And not just in the Haftorah, but all week. This Monday, on Yom HaZikaron, we will gain inspiration as we remember Chayalim who gave everything they had so that our nation could live in our land. Here in Shul on Monday evening, we will learn Torah and light candles in their memory and recite the Kalmale for them. As Yom HaZikaron transitions into Yom HaAtzma'ut, we will gain inspiration by realizing that what Amos said last week has come true. Hashem has made it come true. They will rebuild ruined cities and settle them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will create gardens and eat the fruit. I know people are busy. I know Monday nights are often particularly busy. But if you can be here, Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzma'ut will be a time for that chizuk that is so vital. If you can't be here, then participate in Israeli ceremonies online. And on Tuesday evening, come to Hank for the Boots for Israel program to help our chayalim. The inspiration, especially with the year we've had, is so important. This morning, we read from Yechezkel, because that's our shul's practice. But I'd like to read you the end of Amos. May we merit to soon see the fulfillment of his final words. Unetatim al admasam, I will plant my nation upon their soil. V'lo yinasashu od me al admasam asher nasanti lahem, and never again will they be plucked from their soil which I have given them. Amar Hashem Elokecha, so declares Hashem your God.